10 generations into the picture we see happening in the book of Genesis, we're finding some people who you really need to know. These are people that are household names, but they're also men that Jesus Christ mentioned. And if Jesus Christ mentioned these men, He meant it for us to really take notice and really take thought that there's something major happening. We've looked at several people so far. We've looked at Adam with the point of beginning. We've looked at Abraham with the turn of the faith, but sandwiched between those two guys, 10 generations into the existence of the world, we find a guy named Noah. Noah was an interesting guy. He's a guy that really life began to change as a result of Noah. In fact, if you looked at your family tree, it goes all the way back to Noah. Everybody in this room, your family tree goes back to Noah. Well, we're going to be looking, kind of focusing on three different areas, kind of the big thing. We're going to look at how sin had crept into the world. We're going to see salvation, and then we're going to see the second coming. These are the events and all that are going to be happening, and you're going to see them in a little different shade when you look at a guy named Noah. Now, what had happened? For 10 generations, all of a sudden, the world had gone from the point of beginning there with Adam and Eve going up, and then all of a sudden, we reach this guy named Lamech, and Lamech is going to be the father of Noah. But something had gone so wrong. How could you make something perfect and become something you want to destroy? That's exactly what happened. God created the world and He created it perfect. Sin came into the world through two people. Basically one, his name was Adam. And because of Adam and because of Adam's sin, death entered into the world. And rather than man getting better and better and better to reach up unto God, man got worse and worse and worse. The sons of God married the daughters of men, and they created these monstrosities, and all of a sudden God looks down upon the whole world, this whole creation, and God said, He said these words, He said, I regret that I created man. So He said, I'll just destroy him. Then He could just start all over. Did God need man? No, God didn't need man. God was totally complete in Himself. But yet, one person lived right. One man. And you ask the question, can one man make a difference? Yes. One man can make a difference. Well, sin had so crept into the world. In Genesis chapter 5, I'd like to read to you verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. One man. Noah. Pretty neat. Saying, okay, and my son's going to make a difference. And when I think about how bad things have gotten in this seasons of sin, are men really aware of... If I were to ask you a question today, are men really aware of the judgment of God? What would your answer be? You don't think so? Majority of men? Do people know this world is cursed? Do they know who cursed it? 10 generations into this picture, I'd like for you to follow one text. Look with me into that text. In verse 29, I just want you to hang in there close with me. And he called his name, who called his name? Noah, you got it, okay? So we ask our men aware, 10 generations into the life of Noah, the scripture says, let me read this whole verse so you get it in context. And he called Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because the ground which the Lord had cursed. You see, you don't have to tell people they're sinners. Well, let me back that up. Yeah, we do. Okay, sometimes we need to get up front and personal. But in scope, in a broader stroke, men know they're sinners. Men know that they've messed up. And men know that God has cursed the earth. And men know that, is this really all there is to it? Men know that it's just not perfect. They knew been cursed. Well, let me ask you a question. Do men seek comfort apart from the hand of God? What do you think? Do men seek comfort apart from the hand of God? Yeah, they really do. They really do, because this world had gotten so messed up. Sinful thought was on the minds of everybody. But all of a sudden, Lamech has this little boy. And he named him Noah. Because look in here. It says, this one will comfort us. This one. This one's going to make a difference. You know how you got to go sweating? Yeah, but this guy. So he gave him a name. Gave him the name Noah. So still he's not saying, okay, from the hand of God, we're going to worship and observe and obey God, but we're going to take from our best efforts and this guy's going to get us through. We're going to work our way through it all. Well, and do evil men focus on the journey? Who do evil men focus on in the journey through life? When men focusing on the journey through life, what's the world rotating around? Themselves. That's it. So the world seemingly is rotating around them. That's the reason why we see the word says, in here it says, this one will comfort us. You see, it's all about me. That's kind of the concept. That's what was going on. 9 generations, this will be the 10th. 9 generations into the life of the creation of the world, people were still thinking about themselves. People were still trying to find a way to work their own way out, work their way to heaven, do it out. It's just all about me. And they knew that God had created the toil and the sweat. Are things getting better? Think about it. In this world today, are things getting better? You know what they said? 10 generations into it, they said, things are not getting better either. So we're not reading something kind of brand new right here, because the scripture says, in this verse, it says, because the ground which the Lord had cursed. So things were not getting better. In fact, they were getting worse. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Their minds are blinded. 10 generations in, the minds were blinded. I don't know how many generations we're in right now from the creation of the world, and even from Noah, but it's been a bunch of them. But people are still being blinded by the God of this world. His name is Satan. God says, I'm not going to continue this. In fact, what we're going to read is that God says, I'm going to start this thing all over. I don't like the way it's going. And so he gets a guy named Noah, and he has 3 children. And he says, I'm going to destroy the world in 120 years. In fact, he gave him 120 years to repent. How long do you need? 120 years to repent. And that's it, buddy. It's all over with. You know what the fact about the matter is? God has a timetable set right now for the end of the world. The world that you know it is on a timetable. And do I know how many years it is to it? The answer is, how'd you know that? I don't know. But this I do know. God told Noah, 120 years, buddy, it's over with. It's over with. Now you could take it. You could take it the way the people did. The 10 generations before them, they just kind of sloughed it off and said, and in fact, you're going to see what Jesus is going to talk about that before we get through tonight. This morning, tonight, boy, man, we're going to preach a long one. Anybody bring lunch? 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, we can feed this bunch. But anyhow, so what's happening? We're in this season of sin now. Noah's giving this name, this word of hope, and now we're going to see how this thing develops, because he's going to send this flood, and he's going to wash out, and he's going to, the rain. Hey, by the way, just for instance, up until 10 generations into it, it had never rained. Can you imagine that? The world had this mist over it, kind of like a greenhouse. Had a mist, never rained. And he says, I'm going to send the rain down. And some of those guys said, you're going to do what? It's going to rain. And the waters are going to come down. The waters were going to cover the earth. Every living thing on that breathed, walking around on the earth, was going to die. Except the people in the ark. Now let's develop it. Y'all understand the sin factor that's going on right now. So inside of this, I know you can't read all of this, neither can I, but let me tell you what some of the thoughts that we're looking at this right here. A few thousand years ago, the Bible tells us how people on this earth became greedy and evil thoughts, and God said he's going to send a flood. And can you imagine building an ark like that? And all those animals in there. You got bears and monkeys and frogs. Hey, what does frog stand for? Okay, all right. That's what frog stands for. You got all of these creatures. Is this too unbelievable to be true? Is it? Now, a lot of people don't believe it's true. Well, we know the sinfulness, and today we believe it. We know the sinfulness, but I want you to look at the salvation. Salvation but came by grace. Look with me in chapter 6 now. In chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now you got it. You know where I came up with that 120 year factor. God said it. And then he went on to say that there were giants on the earth in those days. And afterwards, where the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children, there were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his earth was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But the greatest verse in the Bible is what? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. That's it. Grace. God in his infinite mercy and grace. And it began to rain. Well, let's ask some questions here. Now, really, can you really believe that a boat was big enough to take every kind of animal? Do you believe that? Are we meant to believe this really happened, or was this just a story? Was there a flood that did actually cover the entire world? Now, can you believe that? Well, let's follow up with some more questions. Are there really shark teeth in the desert? Are we meant to believe seals were found in the desert? Was there a flood that did actually cover the whole earth? Yes. In the Peruvian desert, this man named Mario, he was 48 when this picture and all was taken. He was going to be standing trial because of this seal that was out in the middle of the desert, removing particles from this. A seal. How does a seal get out in the middle of the desert? Take you to Kansas City, Missouri. How do you find a shark's tooth? How does this happen? Where did this shark tooth come from that is found in many of the deserts of the world where you can find crabs? Shark teeth? How does that happen? If you let your mind go just for a moment, and the world's covered with water, and when the water goes down, what happens? You got it. And so therefore, you find these shark teeth out in the middle of the desert, Peruvian desert, Sahara desert. You find these things. So then, is it hard to believe that all of these animals could be on one ship? Next grade. Can you imagine that? How do you get all two of every type of animal in the world on a boat something like this? That's one way. What you're looking at right there, the litter boat is half scale of what the original ark was. The original ark is 6 tennis courts long, 3 stories high. And they stored the food in there that would feed all the animals. Now, there's a discussion going on. Was there 2 million species of animals? Some would say. Others would say, no, all you need is 50 species of animals. What about the fish? They could swim, okay? Don't have to worry about the fish. But of the birds and the things that creeped on the earth, 50,000 species of animals was on this boat. And they fed them. They fed them for a year, a little over a year. How could that happen? Is it true? Yes. Next slide, as we think about all aboard. Whoops, excuse me. This, you know, how many's going to be on board here? We see all of these animals were there. And then are people still searching today? Yeah. Where did Noah's Ark go down? Mount Ararat. Where is that? In Turkey. And people are still looking. And every now and then somebody says, oh, I discovered it. I don't know whether they have or not. But this is what I do know. There in Turkey, that's where it all began. In other words, you and I came from Mount Ararat. That's where if you trace back your generations, you'd go back there. So in all of this, we think about, if this text is true, and it is true, did Jesus believe in the ark? Did God make a covenant with man? Does the ark teach us about grace? Think about this. Grace. Grace. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 that we read a minute ago, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by what? Grace. How was Noah saved? Grace. How are you saved? Grace. That's something so beautiful. For by grace through faith. Now in chapter 6, in verse 22, God told Noah to build this ark. And He gave him the dimensions and He told him how to build it using the gopher wood and how long it was going to be, how tall it was going to be, and how many stories. Excuse me. And in chapter 6 and verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Now, can you imagine the first morning Noah told Shem, Ham, and Japheth, hey boys, get up. We're fixing to build a boat. How big, Daddy? Take off walking, son. This far, Daddy? No, keep walking, son. This far, Daddy? No, keep walking, son. Hey, Daddy! Yeah, that's far enough. Now, can you imagine no chainsaws building boat that big? Do you imagine what your neighbor said? You can hear it now. Y'all need to move out of the neighborhood. Those guys down there are crazy. And it went on. And all during this time, Moses would say, look, God, I mean, not Moses, but Noah would say, you guys, you've got to get ready. 1 year, 2 years, 75 years down the road, Noah has not changed his message. 100 years down the road, Noah has not changed his message. 120 years down the road, Noah has not changed his message. Lightning. Crowds are getting dark. Noah hadn't changed his message. Faith. They stayed with the stuff. They built the ark. Genesis 6:22 again. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Faith. Noah's in the Hall of Fame, New Testament, Book of Hebrews, because he believed God. And by faith, he acted and built this huge ship. Chapter 7, verse 23. The scripture says, talking about Noah, it says, so he destroyed all living things which are on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive today. And the waters prevailed on the earth 155 days. So what did God do? God destroyed all living things. Now, the truth about the matter of salvation today is, in Christ you're saved. Outside of Christ, you're going down. See, you can't work your way to heaven. You have to go inside by grace through faith. A lot of people are still trying to work their way to heaven. It's going to be kind of like this. In just a little bit, God's going to say to Noah and his sons and their wives, y'all come on in. They went inside along with two of every animal. And the Bible says, and God shut the door. And when the rain started coming, I wonder what the neighbors did. And maybe they grabbed hold to the outside and tried to hang on. But the floodwaters kept coming. And I don't know of any man that could hang on for 150 days. And what happened? They went under. You see, you can't work your way into heaven. You got to be inside. That's where God told him to be. And Jesus Christ said for each of us, Jesus has got to be in your heart. If Jesus is not in your heart, then you're on the outside. And you can try all you want to. You can build pegs on the outside of the ark. And you can try to hang on. But you're not going to make it. By the invitation of God, you've got to come in. So chapter 7 in Genesis, chapter 7 verse 1, the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that your generation before me, because you are righteous before me in this generation." Did you notice that Noah had an invitation to come in? And that's to give us some reality of the second coming of Christ. And I'll tell you how that's going to come about in a minute. But Noah received an invitation. That's what you do. God gives you an invitation to receive Him. If Noah would have stayed outside of the ark, he would have died with the rest of the world. But Noah answered the invitation. And after he went in, he was delivered. Then chapter 8 and verse 1. The water, the destruction, and all of this was going on. But chapter 8, verse 1, "Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subdued. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters ceased." He stayed in there for several months more. A year into this picture, we see he opens up a window and lets a raven out. And the raven flies around, and because the raven could keep on flying, maybe light on the dead bodies, the raven didn't come back. But he sent out a dove. A dove looked for a place to keep his feet dry, and he couldn't find it. So the dove came back. But the next time, the dove went out, and he came back, and he brought a little olive leaf, signifying life on the earth. And the next time, the dove went out, and he didn't return. So therefore, they knew that the ground was dry. And they left outside in chapter 8. They went outside of the ark. And they built an altar and offered a sacrifice unto God. What did they do? They worshipped. They worshipped. And then in chapter 9, Noah entered a covenant with God in the new beginning. And in chapter 9 in verse 1, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" A new covenant was made. Do you remember what God told Adam and Eve to do? The first covenant, the first commandment, He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And so now we got a new beginning. Inside of this new beginning, you know what He told Noah's sons to do? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God gives us purpose. Now, you got it. I know you got it. So let's just bring it up, and we're almost at this conclusion, because I want you to see the second coming of Christ inside of this picture right here. Can you see the sinfulness of the world? Got that with me? Yeah. Can you see the salvation that God provided? He provided the ark, the way to be saved, enter the ark by grace, through faith, people are saved. God closes the door behind, you're secured. All of the stuff outside, death and destruction, but your soul, you're secured. Now, the second coming. I'm fast-forwarding you into Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. The Scripture says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will it be the coming of the Son of Man." Here's the point. What was going on in Noah's day is going on in our day. People were not ready for the coming of the Lord and the destruction. They didn't enter into the ark. They didn't receive the invitation. People today are now saying, Well, the world is so many billion years old now. You know where they get that from? Same place they got a lot of the other answers. It's going to go on. It's always been. So what are people doing today? They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage, they're raising grandkids, they're having the fun, and they just realize, they think that this world is just going to continue on. But you know what's going to happen? And it's over. And it's over. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. Amen. I'm ready. Are you? Where's Christ? Is He secured in your heart with the gate closed? Yeah. If He is, bring on the storms. Bring on the storms. And get ready for the second coming. Let's pray. Father, today we are sure. We know by fact God created the world. God sent a flood. God gave a covenant that He'd never destroy the world again and all living creation by flood. Because we see the rainbow. And because we see the rainbow today, we know God's word is sure. And because of Jesus Christ living in our hearts today, we know that God is with us. So, Father, I'm praying right now. If there's anybody outside of the ark, that they'll listen to the invitation of Jesus Christ and come in. Lord, right now, help people to invite Christ into their life. Signed, sealed, waiting to be delivered. Lord, right now, we pray and we thank You for Your grace through faith. We're saved. We praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question today, where are you? Are you trying to hang on outside of the ark? Give it up and go on inside. Leave the world stuff outside. Just go on inside. And let the Lord close the door. Now, some of you are having some struggles, and maybe you need to go to the prayer altar today. It's a good place. It's a good place. I encourage that. I encourage you to go. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'd like to know about it. Or even talk to you about it. You want to come and let's talk together? We will. We will. Jesus got me in when I was 9 years old. And He sealed the door. Jesus wants you today. And let Him seal the deal. Let Him seal the heart. If you give your life to Jesus, come on. Come on. Let's stand together and sing.